and KNUC. Blog Talk Radio.
And good sunny Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. We're still on 167 northbound just after the 410 in Sumner area. It's heavy through Algona Pacific. Of course, with that construction, it's slowing up traffic a little bit, but it will break free after Highway 18. I-5 northbound is heavy. It's down by the Tacoma Dome around McKinley Way and stretches back to the interchange just before South 38th Street. But that's right. Stay tuned for 2 hours of the Transformation Talk Radio Network coming up next after the news and weather. Dr. Pat Show.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. We have some work to do. That's what St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said when it comes to the central bank tackling inflation. It's running at a four-decade high, and the Fed has raised interest rates in a bid to fight back. Kids under five can now get COVID vaccinations.
We now have vaccines available for every age group 6 months and older. And we know these vaccines are particularly effective at protecting against the worst outcomes of COVID, hospitalization and death.
Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy strongly recommended the shots for parents of young kids. The Supreme Court has ruled on a case that could be a game changer for public education.
If a state's going to give money for this kind of support, it also has to give it to parents that send their children to schools that offer a religious education.
Legal analyst Pete Williams reports in a 6-3 decision, the High Court ruled public vouchers are allowable for private and religious schools in rural areas of the U.S. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Mostly sunny skies today, shaping up to be a pretty nice day today. High temperatures in the low to mid-70s, probably topping out about 74, 75. We'll have a little bit of wind out of the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, clouds with a slight chance of rain. Nothing too major. Low temperatures down to about 54. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with light drizzle. High temperatures around 66. Mostly cloudy skies for Wednesday night. Lows back down to about 51. But for Thursday, Friday, and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected and warmer temperatures. Highs in the mid to upper 60s and mid-70s by Saturday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, one of the things that I want to say is I'm really excited to have Naomi Ozanik on the show today, Becoming a Garment of Isis, a 9-stage initiatory path of Egyptian spirituality. Now, here's what I want to say about this book, but I want to talk a little bit about her for a moment, because it's interesting when I take a look at myself, for example, and she's going to be explaining this from her own depth of being. But I take a look at myself, a girl that grew up in the Bronx, in the cement jungle, very young age, and was totally drawn in to what I now know, didn't know then, Egyptian culture, Isis in particular. If you take a look at my background, everything about me, and then you come into my home. And maybe later on I will go in the back room and I'll show you what I mean. How many times has this woman been to Egypt? Zero. Zero times. No time. Except in my visions and my dreams. And I have read a number of books. But I love what Naomi is inviting us to look at. And I had no idea that these initiations are so beautifully orchestrated and available to us. So today, you're going to hear from somebody who has taken a giant yes into this realm of what some people call Western esoteric period. But whether you think it be Western or Eastern, or whether you think it be Isis or Egypt, or whether you think it is about the mystery schools or not, you will agree with me. We are fascinated beyond any logic. We are fascinated with anything to do with Egypt. Just look at our pop culture. How many movies? I mean, it's almost hard to do something that isn't done in the sand. Hence, Dune. Hello, but today, how would you like to explain to yourselves what the wisdom is and what we can learn? Naomi, it's great to have you. Thank you for writing an amazing book.
I love your introduction about yourself because I can relate to that. As I grew up, I was a very ordinary young woman, an ordinary child. And my awakening to Egypt was when I was 26, which I will talk about. But I didn't have any of those things in my background. It was as much a surprise to me as you have already explained. I can't talk about much, sorry.
But here we are, and I love it. Because, first of all, I'm also the least likely person to even be doing a show like this now for 20 years. But my fascination is just so amazingly drawn to an energy. Can you talk for a minute about the energy of Egypt that drew you in, that pulled you in?
Well, I think I can best explain that by talking about the particular circumstances that changed my life.
Yes.
Because as I've already said, I was a primary school teacher. As simple as that. And in 1977, which is quite a long time ago, I answered an advert for a local Aquarian discussion group that had been placed in the paper. And a little light went on in my head, and I thought, Aquarian, that's interesting. Because in those days, that was not even a common word. So I took my courage in both hands, I rang up, and as it happened, the house that was going to host the meeting was three or four streets away, and that was fascinating. So I duly went, and that's when my life changed. So it was an open group. There were a collection of psychic and mediumistic and all sorts of people there, and the group stayed together, and the group held meetings on a Sunday afternoon, and that's when I heard words I'd never heard before, like esoteric, Kabbalah, Tree of Life, and I'm thinking, I don't know any of these things. And so I regularly attended, and in fact, it became the highlight of my life. I wanted to go every week. I was desperate to learn more. But when I applied for the advert, answered the advert, I had no interest in Egypt, and I will tell you how it began. The group leader, who was a very charismatic and magnetic person, indicated that he did past life regressions, and of course, I was hooked, so right. I went for a past life regression with him. And I have to say, at that time, I had no interest in Egypt. I was hoping to uncover a life in Georgian London. That was what I was interested in. Incidentally, it turned out later that my grandmother was born in Georgia, so I think I was picking up on that. But to come back to the event, I'd never been hypnotized before. I didn't know what to expect or what would happen, and there were some terrible stories about hypnosis and all of this sort of nonsense, so I went. And to cut a long story short, I remember the induction and his voice, and I was going deeper and deeper into myself and into darkness and silence. And then it was as if two eyes came on in my head, and I could see inside my own head, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I'm standing beside a wall," and I already knew it was hot, so I didn't say that. "I'm standing beside a wall. What else do you see?" "I see men, animals." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "On the wall, there are paintings of men with animal heads." And I knew I was in Egypt. I was not in Georgian London. And that's how it began. And do you want to say something about that experience?
No, I don't. I want to just have you talk about it because, you see, there's something that is so unexplainable, right, in a lot of ways. And yet we try so hard to explain this. And all I know is when our friends look at us, and maybe I want to ask you this question because it starts us down a journey. And once we go down the journey, it's as if we can't reverse it. Do you know what I mean?
So the caterpillar does not go back, the butterfly does not go back into the caterpillar.
Exactly. And not all of us become as astute and become a teacher like you. Not all of us can write a beautiful book that I understand had multiple titles before this one. But the descriptive in it, for me, the descriptive in it, when I saw this, just the words, becoming a garment of Isis, it so resonated with the times, the Egyptian times, you know, the idea of the sacredness of garments in that era, right? Yes. There's just something about it that we intuitively know,
yes,
logically and educationally, complete mystery, right? Isn't it paradoxical, though?
Because we have several levels of mind. And in the West, the level we're very comfortable with is, I'm an educated person. I've been taught to think logically and rationally and to make deductions. That is only the first level of mind. And the deeper and the higher levels of mind do not work like that. They do not work by logical deduction.
No.
But to come back to the phrase, the garment of Isis, it took me many years to even hear that phrase.
Yep.
Now it's familiar to me, but it wasn't when I began, and even probably 10 years into my journey, I'd never heard that phrase. But the image is potent because as you put on a garment, and you are inside the garment, the goddess Isis, you become immersed in her. She is the garment. You are immersed in her presence. This makes no sense at all.
It doesn't. And what's fascinating, and we're going to talk about this because of the way you beautifully lay the initiation out in the book, you know, because points in time in our lives, we have to realize, and I think many of us get there, that there is the logical part of our lives, and then there's the other part.
Yeah.
I don't even have a name for it. I know people want to put a lot of names on it. I don't know. Some people call it right brain and imagination, intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say the other part, because I don't think we know its potentiality yet. But when we take a step back, as you just talked about, hypnotic regression is so powerful. And we get a glimpse, or you could have a dream. And the next thing you know, you find yourself in a museum and you're buying a necklace of something you have never seen before. You don't know what it is, but it looks similar to what you have in the background.
You find yourself drawn to gold. Every picture in my house is gold framed. You know, you don't know why. Your friends think, why is she so engaged in gold? Why are all her pictures framed in gold? What is with all the Egyptian artifacts? So when we come back, we're not only going to talk about that, but there's something that opens up, and it just opens us up. Right, Naomi? It opens us up.
So we're having a break when we come back. What I want to address is what we call the call of Isis.
That's it.
You already know it.
And when we come back, I probably will go grab myself a few of what I was referencing and come back to it.
How wonderful.
And Isis, what I've learned, and I love this, you say this in your book. See, we live in, and you can study this, y'all. I'm not making this up. This is a fact. Our culture in the United States is considered an individualistic culture.
Correct.
Mexico? No. They are collectivist cultures. There are models on this. Egypt? They are a culture of togetherness. Now, it's got a lot of history. It's got a lot of mystery. But there's very few people that will admit that they are not fascinated by the pyramids. When we come back, Naomi's going to take us on a journey. We've got three copies of the book to give away, Benny. I will do that when we come back. I'll tell you all how to get your copy. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back, everybody.
Tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
With me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-4255. 1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I have three copies of this incredible book, Becoming a Garment of Isis. It is a 9-stage initiatory process, but when we come back here, we're going to talk about what that pathway looks like. I don't know if we'll get to all of them during the show, but the book brilliantly lays it out. We're going to talk story, though. We're going to talk about, you know, this is the place where we arrive. In order for you to get a copy of the book, we have made it so simple, 1-800-930-2819. And if you're over on Facebook, Olivia will be monitoring that. We'll be able to give you a copy from there, too. But if you call in, Benny, just get your information. If you have a question, let us know. Naomi, for you, what is the best place for people to find out about you and to get a copy of a book from you?
Well, my website, or I can be contacted on my email. I'm not very active on Facebook, and I have no other social media presence. Now, I'd like to just say that another book called The Breath of Isis, and I will be giving away 20 free copies to the first 20 people who email me with a request for it. And I will talk about it before so that they know what they will be getting.
Well, how do we email you?
Would you like my email address?
I'd love it, please.
Ready? This is Naomi. Naomi .ozanek, ozaniec @gmail.com.
And Olivia and Jacob, if you can put that across the Facebook screen, that would be great. If you could type that in over Facebook, that would be great. Even if you don't get to do it live, let's do it during the post edit.
The first 20 copies are free. Beyond that, should there be beyond that, it is available for purchase for $10. Now, the book is 82,000 words, 165 pages, so it's a good read, and it covers the stages we've begun to talk about, almost the things that precede the book on becoming a garment of Isis. It covers my journey from 1977 to about 2013. The book is divided into two parts. The first part is a narrative, a description of my journey, and the second part has a series of rituals that we performed in our group in the 1990s. I would like, if I can, to give you the chapter headings so you have a flavor of the book. The first chapter we've kind of covered. It's called Awakening, and that was in part the hypnotic regression. Then the first is called The Call of Isis. The second chapter is called The Mantle of Isis. Then The Rites of Isis, The Garments of Isis, The Breath of Isis, The Light of Isis, The Mysteries of Isis, and finally, The Sorrows of Isis. That is the first part of the book. And the second part are the following rituals, which were done with quite large groups. The first one is the Blessings of Hathor. The second is the Adoration of Sekhmet. Then the Roses of Isis. Then Remembering Osiris. Then the Marriage of Heaven and Earth. And finally, the Ascension of Osiris. The ritual scripts are given as they were performed with some guidance on the laying out your temple and the way to prepare. So that really is my first set of memories. And the book, Becoming a Garment of Isis, is the distillation of the principles I learned from the journey. When I was first journeying, I was very often lost, and I did not know what I was doing or where I was journeying to. It took me several decades. I started to begin the Garments of Isis in 2009, and I didn't finish it until 2019, and I began journeying in 1977. So there were many things to learn on the way, many, many things.
And, you know, this is it, because let's talk about this. The bottom line is we are talking about a journey. You know,
it is a journey.
It is a journey, and it's a journey that is fascination just in itself. But I want to talk about the journey and being guided, right? Because when I read your book, that's what I'm struck by. You know, it's laid out so beautifully, it's clear that there was guidance involved in everything you do, pretty much,
everything.
Naomi.
But I didn't know that. But looking back,
yes.
Absolutely correct.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you were talking with me during the break, I was thinking to myself, she's right. You know, how would I ever come up with the Transformation Network? Clearly, I now know I did not. I did not come
that
up with
correct.
That. And our first channel is Transformation Talk Radio, where we're going to grow from one channel to four this year and more next year, but under the giant umbrella of the Transformation Network. And it's interesting to step back, read your book, and go through each of these path ages, and to be able to pinpoint, because everybody will be able to do this, to be able to pinpoint perhaps when you were there and what it felt like, right?
Mm.
The way that you've laid this out is really relatable, but it's also, and if you could talk to this, isn't it also a guidance system for the times we live in now?
I feel this very much. It doesn't take much to look at the mess we're in and to ask the question, how did we get here? Why did we get here? And is there an alternative way? Is there another way out? Because our way of looking at the world is not the Egyptian way. So the Egyptians... nature, they drew their whole philosophy from nature. Everything in nature was sacred. Now, can we honestly say that? I don't think so. The river was sacred. The land was sacred. Ta Meri, the precious land. We have lost that sense of the sacred as being in the world. We think it's something we go and see when we go to church. And it doesn't carry over into our lives. But for the Egyptians, the world itself, the cosmos, in fact, was a garment of the unseen divinity, which originated with Atum, is called the Hidden One. So already we have a different way of perceiving reality. The life essence, the divine essence, flows through everything you see, every tree, every plant, every star, every stone. This is already sacred. And when we forget that and think it's just a commodity, we end up where we are now.
Yeah. I have to tell you what I love. I talk about this a lot. I have another show that I do, Naomi, and it's called Power Up with Dr. Pat. When I first came out with that title, and that show's fairly new. It's only a couple of years old. I don't do it as often as the Dr. Pat show, but I am going to be doing more of it. Right now I'm doing 10 hours of radio a week, so I'm going to be adding that show into it. When I first came out with the name, so
some people loved it, and other people got afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hadn't even described the show yet, mm-hmm. but here's what I love about what you've done. Every part of the book, so for all of you listening, when you open the book, you may call these chapters, whatever you want to call them. You are using the word power over and over and over again. The power of intelligence, the power of inspiration, the power of imagination, the power of dedication, the power of meditation, the power of transformation, the power of initiation, the power of... When I went through this, and I got to the power of transformation once, it dawned on me that as women, we are very afraid of this word. But you didn't fool around with using this. Can you talk to that a little bit, please?
And what you said is absolutely true. These are powers because they, the Egyptian phrase is, my soul is equipped. But how does your soul equipped by sitting on the sidelines being a wilting wallflower? No, it doesn't. Step up. Engage. And as you were speaking, the word power reminded me of the goddess Sekhmet. Her name means power.
Yeah.
She and we have this ritual called the Adoration of Sekhmet. So... But these are powers of life. They are natural. They are within the cosmos. And the Egyptians, if we talk about gods and goddesses, well, the Egyptians didn't. That was not their word. And this is very important to understand. For them, what we call the gods and goddesses were the Netches, the living powers of creation. Now, my mystery school is called the House of Life Mystery School of Divine Partnership. And this comes back to the question you asked about guidance.
Yeah.
That guidance was given to me in 1977. I did not know or understand what was happening for decades. That guide, it's like when you reach out to ISIS, and in a moment, if I can, I'd like to talk about the call of ISIS.
Yes.
When you have heard that, the way to respond to that is through the heart and by reaching out your hand into the darkness and saying, please, take my hand.
So right about that. I want to take a short break and get back to that because what I'm really struck by is, did this come to me in the happy moments of my life? No. It came to me in some of the darkest moments of my life, as early, very early young, but especially when I was homeless at 17. What was I drawn to? You know, on the streets of New York, what did I see? What was I drawn to immediately? But when you hear the calling, do you take heed or do you hide? What will you choose, folks? Because I've done both, and I got to tell you, the hiding part from ISIS, that does not turn out well. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go through some of these beautifully, just this book is so beautifully written. It's so absolutely inviting, but there's something to relate to. And if we could just remember some of these powers, we have the ability to transform anything. Let's take a short break, Benny, Olivia. We'll be right back.
Do you stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Is divinity within you. Join Lisa Bels on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Drina Layton.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and with Drina Layton show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insight on how to turn things around and gain the Married for Life mindset.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. And Benny, we have another copy of the book to give away. What do you say? Shall we do it?
Sounds like a plan.
Let's do it. Let's do it, right? Right? 1-800-930-2819. The other thing, I also want to refer everybody to, you can get the book on Amazon. For those of you that are just going to email me about saving the earth, Kindle is available for this book. I was hoping, I don't know if she will do it, but I was hoping for an audio version of the book. But you can really,
wow.
I was hoping for it, because I'd love to hear it in your voice.
I think you'll have to speak to Inner Traditions.
I'll get a hold of Manzanita tomorrow. No, I'll get a hold of her today. You don't have to worry about that. You know, there are some books that you can read, like this one, where you're hanging on every descriptor. And here's what I mean. There's a lot of science in this book, too. So thank you for that, right? I mean, you hear me having one foot in this realm and another foot in pop culture, Marvel movie realm. That's mm-hmm. just me. That's what I love about this. You know, you talk about the initiate mind, let's say, and you're talking about it's not everyday mind. So let's have a chat about this for a moment. Because this really points to what you said about how the book came to you, what I said about how the network came to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about this, you say, but it can be consciously created. We can do it. It's a path of being and becoming. Can you talk to that? Because I got to tell you, the more I think about that phrase, the more I'm reflecting, how the heck did I get here?
Mm-hmm. You're already under guidance, whether you knew it consciously or not.
I didn't. I didn't know it.
Well, I didn't know it myself for many decades. And in my case, even imagining that you were a priestess of Isis, you didn't say that. People would tell you you were crazy. Your family would tell you you're crazy. So it became very interior. My mother was a great support to me. You did not talk about that.
Nope.
So this question of guidance and the orchestration of one's life is quite fascinating. Now, Leonard Cohen, who I admire greatly, has a wonderful line in which he says, it was never me, it was always you. And what he actually means is, what appears to be the orchestration of his life did not come from him, but from the divine operating through him. And as I said, my mystery school is called the, it's about divine partnership,
yeah.
which I am now willing and able to say that functions in my life, but it's taken me, where are we, 40, 45 years? That's been my journey.
Yes.
And I can say, if you hear the call of Isis, and I have a feeling that many of your listeners will understand what that means, when you hear it, do not be put off by people saying, you're crazy. You keep it to yourself. It's a function of the heart. And you act upon it by starting to speak. Isis was sitting opposite you, and you say, I've heard the call. You extend your hand into the darkness of the unknown. She will take your hand. But as you and I have discussed, this is not an easy journey. She will break you before she makes you.
Yeah, I loved your conversation in the book about the principle of simultaneity.
Yes.
The simultaneity. I like to think about it as almost like a simulation of things, right? You know, these parallel efforts. But I love this because you point out that, okay, wait a minute. We're looking maybe at Osiris. We're looking at green-faced God of life, death, and transformation. We're looking at renewing powers as well, right? And yet we get so linear that we cannot see this.
Because this
we
is
get like this.
Educated. Now, I'd like to say a little bit about the Egyptian mindset.
Yes.
This is not like our mindset. It was symbolic, relational, and holistic. Now, for us to gain that mindset, we have to undergo a training curriculum. Otherwise, we are still stuck in what education has given us. My book, The Aquarian Kabbalah, provides exactly that curriculum because it links the tarot and the Tree of Life. And the tarot, basically, is a collection of symbols. They're pictorial, they're numerical, they're astrological, they're mythical. So you are beginning to have to operate at a non-literal, non-linear way of thinking. This is how the Egyptians thought. For them, color was symbolic. Everything around them represented the divinity that was invisible but inherent within the cosmos. So everything they saw was telling them something. They drew their ideas of immortality from the circumpolar stars that never set. They're immortal. Be immortal too. They never had a thing like the Bible. Nature was their source for their sacred understanding. We don't have that.
You know, what
is it to our cost that we don't have that?
It's our to our cost, and there's also a very myopic conversation that can go on. It's a very narrow one. And I remember being in Catholic boarding school as a young child and fascinated, as I said before, with comic books. And I remember a dialogue. I can't remember if it was in one of the classes, but I got scolded for it. That's where I remember it.
Yeah.
Where I said, I asked the question as my comic book was being grabbed from me and taken away. And I remember the sister talking to me about the fact there is one God and God is everything. And I remember as a young six-year-old, I looked up and said, I know. That's why God created this comic book. I swear, I agree with you. I'm six, and I said, look, God gave me this comic book so I could understand better. I got grabbed by the ear. I got dragged out of there. But we want to have a version of a God that's this when, whoa, wait a minute, what if it's that? One of the things you say that I love, and I think it's hard for us, I want you to talk about it, because it is, I think it's at the cornerstone of everything you've got in this book, and it's this. You say, mystical consciousness is an uncommon state of being, but its fingerprint is to be seen in all spiritual traditions across time and place. And then you go on to say, without the inclusion of a mystical dimension, theories of mind and consciousness will remain incomplete. You know how powerful that is? Here it is.
Yes.
That even the 12-step program that were created in the 1930s were influenced by Carl Jung, and the entire basis of those programs was based on spiritual experience.
The mystic. Let's be honest. He lived it.
Why are we so resistant?
That's a very big question, and I'm not sure I can answer that.
That'll have to be in your next book, though.
I am halfway through my next book. Education has a lot to do with it, and unfortunately, I don't like to point the finger of blame, but monotheistic culture, that kind of thinking is a straitjacket. It's a mental straitjacket.
Yeah.
And it's frightening for people to break out of that, because like you, you're pinched by the ear and told you're naughty.
Yep. But I'll tell you, you couldn't save me, because my mom committed suicide when I was six, but she was a mystic. I know it. I know she was. And she lived in a world that didn't want her to be. You know, you're right about this. When you say you're something, or you have aspirations, or you're like she was, there's no mistake about who she was and how powerful she was. But you see, back then, you gave women drugs. You had to keep them under thumb, right? I want to ask you this. Let's take a minute and talk about the power of some of these initiations. There's a question that just came in. Let me ask you. Dear Dr. Pat, dear Naomi, thank you. Everything's abbreviated, so I apologize. When these messages come in, they're all like abbreviated. This is so fascinating. Dr. Pat, you went through a number of powers of. Are these in a particular order? Do I read the book in a particular order? Tell me about the journey in reading the book. Good question.
I think the book is written to be taken in a particular order. That is to say, the opening of the heart mind, which is the first sacred place, the first terminus.
Yeah.
This is very easily accessible for people because it's about our feelings. We are taught not to listen to the heart, but for the Egyptians, the intelligence of the heart was the rudder in life because it was connected with moral conscience, with ma'at, with truth. When we don't listen to the heart and we listen to this rational voice in the head, we are we are kidding ourselves. We are on a straight and narrow path leading to nowhere. So yes, the book, the first part of the book, was written to be, if you like, followed in that particular structure. It becomes increasingly the third and final part, the opening of the soul mind. That's not so straightforward, and perhaps you would benefit by working with me or being in a group. But the first two sections, the powers of intelligence, powers of inspiration, the power of imagination, the power of the heart, these are things, they are accessible to every single person. There is nothing weird, supernatural, or strange about them.
If you had to talk to us for the next couple minutes, and this is, there's in the book, I know you reference this, there are many concepts that are absent from the modern world. I think, what was the one I read? But there are certain concepts present justice and truth that are absent.
Okay.
But yet you've included them, and they're just so powerfully needed.
Yes.
How did they become absent?
If you look at Egypt, the pharaoh called himself the son of Ma'at. Saying, I am in the family of truth and justice. He made offerings to her every day on behalf of the land, the nation, and the cosmos. Can you imagine? And no, you can't imagine anything happening like that in today's world, because it's not possible. And Ma'at was connected with everything, with the opening of the heart. So as soon as you begin to open your heart, you're saying, may truth reside in my heart. May truth become my guide. And it will happen. But it has to be said, as you've already said, this is not a primrose, the dalliance into wonderland. It will break, because the constructs of our life are false. And you only have to look at the world to know that that is a fact.
You know, I'm fascinated. If you came into my office, you would see a framed picture on the wall. And it's a picture beautifully colored. And there are several different aspects in the picture, but it's a poster of Ra. Mm-hmm. And I've often thought about why we're so afraid of the sun god. You know, what is it about this energy that keeps us so distant from even an understanding? And when I say that, yet we talk about the sun. We talk about the living, breathing. Indigenous cultures worship the sun. The sunrise in Native traditions is so beautiful. But boy, it does scare some people.
It's exactly the same in ancient Egypt. As I've said, they took their bearings from nature, and the moment of sunrise was so important. This is like the god waking, because the idea would be that at night Ra would go into the underworld, where he would be helped by all sorts of guiding divinities to go into the Duat, where he would be reborn. So his rebirthing is the dawn, and this is so important. The light of the sun creating the new day. We never look at the sunrise except, and we don't look at sunset except some romantic piece of nonsense. For them, sunset was Ra returning into the womb of Nuit to be reborn. These are concepts so foreign to our culture. And yet they sustained Egypt for a minimum of 3,000 years. And what have we done in our 2,000 years since taking the dating from, you know, the birth of Christ? There's no continuity, and we are destroying everything, ourselves and the planet along with it.
Oh, there's no question about that. Even the most sacred of sacred lands. I mean, even as I think about what's happening in South America, you know, we are doing it in the spirit of something other than what you and I are talking about.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for me, that's what I love about what you're bringing to the forefront, because I do believe deep inside of us, there is this wisdom. There is this heart-centeredness. There is this way to get back to honoring.
Now, right? Jung would agree with you, because he would say that your life's journey is about becoming the person you are supposed to be.
Yep.
He called that individuation.
Yes, he did.
That therefore means there's something in you that knows what you need to undergo and where your journey will take you. So when we're stepping onto this path with that hand extended into the unknown, we are saying, I want to become myself. I do not want to be a clone of everybody else in society. You are claiming your individuality, you're claiming your soul, you're claiming your birthright, you're claiming all the spiritual powers we have named.
And haven't we created an entire culture, mass collectivism, social media arena just to try to give ourselves some comfort to find our uniqueness among the billions? I mean, in search of it, I mean, if anything were present in social media, it is an individual's desire to really stand out and make a difference underneath it all. That's what I find so fascinating. It's, we have these cycles we go through, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And yet, I do believe that we are, like you say, that we are in the time to initiate now. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you so much for having me. Please don't forget to remind your listeners, 20 copies of The Breath of Isis, free to 20 people.
I would do it. And what's the website that people can find out more about you?
It is thehouseoflife.co.uk.
And then for those of us now, I'd love to know your personal message. What would you like to leave us with today?
Do we have 2 minutes?
I'll give you 60 seconds.
Oh, goodness me. Okay. 60 seconds. Live from the heart.
I love that. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you all. Again, you can get the book on Amazon, as I said before, Becoming a Garment of Isis. It's a 9-stage initiatory path of Egyptian spirituality. You can get paperback and Kindle available on Amazon. Thank you, everybody, for tuning us in, turning us on. Olivia, thank you. Jacob, thank you. Benny, thank you. Stay tuned. Sue Storm, the Angel Lady, is coming up next.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And a happy sunny Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Over on, looks like I-5 northbound this time at 164th Street Southwest, around milepost 183. A recent collision partially blocking the 2 left lanes. Good thing, though, fire assistance, state patrol have arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that collision. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Thank you. ABC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The January 6th House Committee is holding a new public hearing.
We'll show that what happened to Mike Pence wasn't an isolated part of Donald Trump's scheme to overturn the election.
Committee Chairman Benny Thompson says the hearing is focused on efforts by former President Trump and supporters to pressure officials in swing states to change the results of the 2020 presidential election. President Biden is opening the door to a gas tax holiday. His comments come as Americans are gearing up to hit the road by the upcoming 4th of July holiday in record numbers. The federal gas tax is about 18 cents per gallon. Mortgage rates are soaring as sales of existing homes are down for the fourth straight month. The National Association of Realtors says sales fell 3.4% in May. The group's chief economist expects that trend to continue due to the sharp rise in mortgage rates. It appears law enforcement didn't need to wait over an hour to go into a South Texas classroom where a shooter was hiding.
I don't believe, based on the information we have right now, that that door was ever secured. In fact, I have great reason to believe it wasn't secured.
Texas Department of Public Safety Colonel Stephen McCraw told a state Senate hearing he doesn't believe the shooter had time to lock the Robb Elementary door last month in Uvalde. Law enforcement had previously said officers had to wait for a janitor to get a key to open the door before shooting and killing the gunman. The Supreme Court won't protect Bayer AG from claims that its weed killer causes cancer. The court rejected a multi-billion dollar appeal from the pharmaceutical company. It leaves in place an award to a California man who said his exposure to Roundup weed killer was at fault for his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. New Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson is settling 20 civil lawsuits against him. Attorney Tony Busby released a statement saying Watson settled all but four of the sexual misconduct suits. The women who had sued accused Watson of exposing himself and touching them inappropriately during massage appointments. Earlier this year, grand juries decided not to indict Watson after police investigation of the claims. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Rising home values mean that you could have more home equity than you might imagine. And if you're considering a refi, an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot could save you thousands. Ask about their smart term loans, cash out, and over 300 loan options to find just the right mortgage loan for you. Call now, 866-888-LOAN, or go to loandepot.com. Loan Depot, where home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 1744457, licensed in all 50 states.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Mostly sunny skies today, shaping up to be a pretty nice day today. High temperatures in the low to mid-70s, probably topping out about 74, 75. We'll have a little bit of wind out of the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, clouds with a slight chance of rain, nothing too major. Low temperatures down to about 54. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with light drizzle. High temperatures around 66. Mostly cloudy skies for Wednesday night. Lows back down to about 51. But for Thursday, Friday, and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected and warmer temperatures. Highs in the mid to upper 60s and mid 70s by Saturday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have you tune us in and turn us on. And yes, I am sounding a little bit better. And thank you for all your kind words and blessings and, oh my gosh, so many healings that I've gotten. Thank you all for all of that. I think I'm on the tail end, just still a little nasal, but I think it just gives me a new sound, Benny, doesn't it? Like, gives me like a different sound.
It's a creative sound, yes. We're looking for it. Yes, exactly.
It's almost like cool sci-fi, maybe. Like,
sure,
everybody know
that.
Anybody know who Vincent Price is? Oh, my God. Did I just date myself with that dude? Oh, think Thriller, the video, and the voice that comes on at the end. That's him.
Welcome, everybody. We're talking about one of my favorite topics, but also I love that we're talking about it in the middle of Mercury in retrograde. Well, it's not in the middle. I guess it's at the beginning. But today, look, Carmen joining me here. Carmen Turner Schott is joining me here today because she's got a great look. The book, it's just so much to talk about. I'm just going to skip a bunch of breaks. Sun signs, houses, and healing. Build resilience and transform your life through astrology. Now, why is that the coolest thing to look at? Well, I'll give you a couple of examples as to why it's cool to look at. One is we think of astrology like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like you wake up and you get your horoscope. That's not the only part of astrology, everybody. And once upon a time, that's what I thought. And then I had my first chart done, and I remember way back, a bunch of years ago, and the person that was doing it was an esoteric astrologer and looked at it and said, I want to tell you, your birth chart is kind of boring, but your returns are quite interesting. And so I just thought, okay, everybody else's birth chart is exciting, but really, you just told me it's boring? Well, she was like a triple Sagittarian like me, so of course she would be that
direct. Wow.
Right. So today, Carmen is joining us because we're not only going to talk about this book, but we're going to talk about what it is Carmen has done to integrate, I love it, psychology, Christian astrology, social work. The basic, when you put all that together, it is literally life's path work. That's what we're talking about. And what is it that she's going to shine the light on today? Carmen, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, look, I love that we're going to get to talk about this, but I'm always fascinated, especially after I read a book like this. And I think about, why would Carmen go in this direction? What is it about her and the fascination? And then I looked and I said, oh, she got touched by this at a very young age. Carmen, great to have you. I'm going to ask you this question. What was it, can remember, of the first time astrology popped into your consciousness? What were you thinking? Were you thinking like, what?
Sure. It all started when I was a senior in high school. I was 16 years old. And I woke up one night, and I saw a glowing ball of light in my doorway.
Wow.
And I couldn't explain it. At the time, I was a little bit afraid because it was the unknown. And I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I just watched this thing, and it was about the size of a softball, like glowing white, yellow, and it would just float in my doorway. And I remember the only thing I had control of was my mind. And I could say, please don't have it come out of my room. Please don't. And it never did. And then I happened to be able to yell for my mother after maybe an hour or so of laying there watching this thing. And she saw it too, which was validation for me because even before then, I was very intuitive. I had experiences I couldn't explain. Let's just say that. But after that glowing ball light experience, that changed me, and for the first time, I went into a little bookstore in St. Louis called Mystic Valley, and I started looking for my sun sign, Virgo, and I found a little book about Virgo, which is my sign, and I bought my first astrology book, and I was hooked. Everything I read, it validated my experiences, and in a practical way, and I thought, wow, how is this working? How is this so accurate? And then I spent my life studying it, teaching it to myself, and started doing consultations when I was 19. You know, now I'm 46. I've been doing this a long time. I always wanted to be a psychologist or a social worker and a teacher. And so I majored in psychology, and I would do charts for fun for people and incorporate it in college. And then I became a licensed social worker, and I live astrology. It's like a part of when people get to know me, they know that I talk about it. I bring it into life in a practical way.
Yeah.
And to make it understandable to anyone, that anyone can learn the basics, and they don't need to shy away from it. It is a technical thing to learn, but you can learn the basic psychological astrology, which is my love, my passion, and I'd like to teach it to everyone.
Yeah, and one of the things that I love about it is that you're kind of like me, in a sense, is that we have this other training, or what is the better word for it? Training, education, I don't know, whatever you want to call it,
sure,
in some of the social sciences. And so when you have this background in social sciences, psychology, sociology, whatever they are, and then you take the technical and the brilliance, you know, of looking at astrology from a very scientific, right, really cool place, you know, almost this, I had one of my friends said to me, you know, there's all the sacred geometry in astrology, right, and archetypes. And so when you start to look at things like that, and then you watch some of the psychologists like Jung and others that have come along, you could see how this is something that has been so intertwined. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, definitely. You know, I love, you know, Carl Jung's work, and the archetypes really are associated with the 12 signs of the zodiac, you know, the 12 archetypes that he talked about in his work. And then even, you know, religion and in the Bible, I've studied a lot about astrology in different religions. And, you know, the 12 sons of Jacob are represented the 12 signs and personalities of the zodiac. You know, even back to ancient cultures, you know, the signs were on money. They're in churches all over Europe. You can find hidden astrology symbolism in the book of Revelation, you know, all throughout the Bible. And so I've just always been fascinated by that, and it really validated me. You know, being raised a Christian, I consider myself a Christian mystic. I'm very open-minded to other religions, Buddhism, and everything. I've always loved studying different cultures and religions, and that was my minor, was religion and philosophy. So I learned a lot about bringing that together, and I traveled Europe because I lived in Germany twice. My husband was in the Air Force, so we traveled a lot, and I would go into churches and see, like, those are the fixed signs of the zodiac on the ceiling of the church, you know, and started seeing these symbols throughout Europe. And it's just a part of culture and a part of our psychology. I just love it. And it's a personality tool. You know, in my job, as you know, is that when we do team building, you know, we do the four lenses and true colors, personality, the Myers-Briggs, you know, all of these cool things. I'm like, astrology is just even more accurate than this. Like, this is the four elements that they're talking about, you know, orange, blue, gold, and green. And I'm kind of working on a book now to incorporate some of that stuff. And that's one of my new ideas I'm working on. But it's just part of it's part of our personality. It's part of our deeper who we really are. Just like, you know, why are twins different? Twins can have, you know, have different charts, different personalities, even though they're born the same day and year. And so I love it. I love making it practical and using it as a tool for self-awareness and focusing on the positive personality traits that people have. You know, looking at, you know, these are your strengths, these are your gifts, and these are some maybe careers and things that you could do that would help you with self-care or to be happy, you know, or to have healthy relationships. And I really use it to help people learn more about themselves and others, because it helped me so much in my own life.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this is I so loved when I started to crack open, you know, the book and crack open some of your messages and just start to read it. I loved that you came out of the gate, Carmen, with not just an introduction, but you really made it a point to remind us of self-care. And also, and I it was like I had to go back over and I read it again. And the reason I read it again is because I love that you put it in there, because very rarely do you find like a dialogue in a book and content in a book like this where somebody is saying, wait a minute. This is where we have to start, right? And then I love this line, because this, I think, is one of the largest mistakes we make in our fields. This line: the reason self-care techniques do not work the same for everyone is because of the unique way the elements in our birth chart affect our ability to react to stress, heal,
relax, and recharge. You know, doesn't that sound like so commonsensical? But anybody you find, like, they pull these things off the shelf. You know, in my corporate career in HR, I never understood how they can come in and give everybody the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a, in the field I'm in, I work with trauma survivors for the past 25 years. Most of my work has been with victims of sexual assault.
Yeah, wow.
Trauma. And I work with other, you know, I oversee folks that are doing a victim advocacy work. And so I train them, I mentor them, I help them. And one of the things I always do with them when we have team building is self-care. And the thing I started realizing is that some people cannot sit and meditate and breathe and quiet their mind because they're a fire sign, they're active. They need to be doing physical things like walking, exercise, driving in their car, traveling, playing games, you know, doing that movement. It's hard for them to sit and really meditate like a water sign would, or, you know, write and journal like, you know, the water in a earth signs can. So, and I kind of was going that route with the book, and, you know, and it was tweaked and edited a little bit, but I had a little bit more in there about it, but I wanted to give self-care prompts. You know, what are you going to do to self-care? And because it's something that as healers and helpers in the helping professions, we don't take care of ourselves.
No.
And it's amazing to me. I just took a leadership course through Washington University here in St. Louis, and we met, like, these amazing leaders in the community that were, like, you know, CEOs of, you know, United Way, all of these people. And we got to ask them about, you know, what's it like, you know, what are your tips for being a good leader? What are your tips for handling conflict? And I asked every single one of them the same question. How do you self-care? How do you make time? Because they're so busy and they're always doing something and always achieving, you know, working, always working.
Yeah.
And they said to me, they don't. They said, I don't take good care of myself. And I was shocked. They're like, my daughter reminds me that I need to take vacation or leave. And they all admitted, I'm not good at self-care. So it is something that is a need that we all need to focus on. What can we do for ourselves? Because no one's going to do it for you. You have to take care of you, because I love the saying, you can't fill from an empty cup. You know, you got to have your cup full, and then you can give and go, right, energy-wise. But if you're drained and burned out and depleted, you can't help other people in the way they need it.
Yeah, I love this. As a matter of fact, for those of you just tuning in, I just want you to be aware that very special guest today, but I love this book for a lot of reasons. You know, Carmen Turner Schatz joining me here today. Sun signs, houses, and healing. Build resilience and transform your life. Now, a lot of people, at least where I come from, I call this esoteric astrology in a sense, because what it's doing is it's talking about pathways, it's talking about choices, and it's talking about the interaction of things. And I love what you talked about. You're a Christian mystic. So was Emma Curtis Hopkins, right, which many people don't even know who she is. But you see, by combining this, these are ancient wisdoms and knowledge, right? So your approach to this goes, like, way back, like thousands of back, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why do we see all these glyphs in Egypt about what we're about to talk about today? Mesopotamia, why do we see, before we could, like, speak it, this language?
Yes.
But this book is so fascinating. What was the underpinnings around why you wrote this book in this way? Because it's different than a lot of, like, pick up your astrology book, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I'll be honest. What started my search for this was I actually wrote a book about the 8th and 12th astrological houses. That is where a lot of my research was about the 8th house, which is the house of death, rebirth, transformation, healing, growth, you know, very karmic house, a lot of learning comes when you have planets in that house. And I have a lot of planets in the 8th house and the 12th house. So that was my passion, learning more about 12th house people, 8th house people. And a lot of my Facebook groups, I have our astrology groups about the 12th house, 8th house. And my clients, a lot of people that find me are seeking me out, because that's what a lot of my videos and education has been about, was overcoming and mastering those two houses, because it's a lot of life lessons, a lot of loss, grief, but also spiritual gifts, psychic abilities, ability to heal others and yourself. And people don't always understand why they're the way they are. And when I do their chart, a lot of people have 12th and 8th house planets that are interested in these things, right? In astrology, in healing, in metaphysics and religion. And so I wrote a book about how people with 12th and 8th house planets can heal. And my first actual submission to the publisher was a book about the 8th and 12th houses. And they kind of came back and said, it's kind of too narrow, for a publishing company to really go. So I self-published the 8th house book myself. It's called The Mysteries of the 8th Astrological House, Phoenix Rising, the Phoenix, Resurrection. And that book has sold well, but it's self-published. I just put it out there myself. And that's how people got to know me. And then, of course, I write a lot of – I have a 12th house book called The Mysteries of the 12th House Fallen Angels that – I just published with John Hunt, and it's coming out in this August. And I've always had articles and everything about it, but that is where my research has been.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I didn't know much about that, and then I was reading through your book as well. But one of the things I was fascinated about was, and by the way, that was the only person I worked with that ever said my birth chart was boring.
I'll
share my screen during the break. How does that sound? I'll probably drive Jacob crazy in that. But when I think about what you're talking about, we're going to get into this, because this is, your book is also about healing and resilience.
Yes.
Now, you can learn a lot about astrology, but where are you when it comes to your ability to not just heal like from a cold, but I mean wounded healing, traumatic healing.
Yes.
And people are thinking, well, that hasn't happened to me. Anybody that has just gone through COVID,
yes,
there's some healing that needs to go on.
Yes.
For that.
It was traumatic. Yes.
It was traumatic. And we don't even want to talk about it. I have some friends right now that are just, they don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about, this approach to looking at sun signs. What does it mean to look at a sun sign in healing? Mm-hmm. And what happens to that sun sign when you look at it in your birth chart? Because, Carmen, you do a beautiful job in saying, this is astrology in your birth chart. So you come right out of the gate. Tell us how the birth chart works relative to why people then want to get something like a solar return, which is, I guess it's a look ahead. Yeah, can you help us understand that?
Sure. So there's many different types of charts. So your birth chart, natal chart, is your main personality. It's your energy. It's really all about energy, and it shows your emotional nature, your main personality, your career, how you are in relationships, how you are as a parent, how you overcome trauma, how you are with money, how your health is. We can see all of that in your natal chart. And once you have that done, then what we do is we expand out and we look at your solar return chart, which is your birthday chart. So it's like your one-year chart. And we can see, okay, this next year, these are the energies coming your way. These are some ways you may feel, you may experience some things with your career, depending on what planets are in those houses, right, of the solar return chart. You can really get kind of a snapshot of what is this year going to look like for me, right? And then we also always want to look at someone's transit chart, which that shows me what is happening in each area of your life, which are the 12 houses. And each of those 12 houses rule certain things, career, health, relationships, marriage, spirituality, money, home and family, right? So we look and see what major transits are happening in your birth chart, and it's kind of like your birth chart's in the center, and then there's a wheel on the outside of it that it's like it's all images, pictures, and you can see, okay, someone has Pluto getting ready to go into their fourth house. That is a big thing, because that means it's a planet of change, transformation, death and rebirth, and growth and healing. So whenever I've had Pluto transit my fourth house, I've been through that. I lost my grandmother. She passed away during that time.
Wow.
And there's certain major life things that you can predict. Moving, you know, I always see people tend to move. I moved twice during that transit of Pluto through my fourth house because it lasts many years. And so, and then Uranus, you know, those outer planets, they mess with you for many years in each of those areas of life, and it's years of learning and experience until they move into the next area of life, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has a different learning and lessons based on their transit chart, and it's all based on your birth chart. So the time of birth is so important, because if you don't know your exact time, it can change everything. It changes what houses the planets are in. You know, and when I have so many people come to me and ask me, Carmen, I don't know my time. Can you figure out my chart? And what I've been able to do is, if I can see someone in person and meet them, or see a picture or photo of them, the physical appearance and how someone acts when you first meet them, your first instinct and perception about someone, you know, that's typically the rising sign. And it can fool you. Because the rising sign, they may not have the sun sign and moon in the rising, and how you see them is not how they really are. They're very different. But if their rising is the same as their sun sign, what you see is what you get. That person is very similar to how you first meet them and judge them to be. So it's really cool. And I can narrow down by their facial, you know, facial looks, asking them some questions, you know, about how people perceive them, how they feel in an environment, how they relate to stress. And I've been able to get a pretty accurate chart for people based on that two-hour window of trying to get that right rising sign to get an accurate chart for someone that doesn't know their time. But the time is so important. And,
oh, my God, it is. And, you know, you're absolutely right about the time, because I remember getting a chart done where whoever did the chart had my time off.
Yes.
And then also on the return chart, didn't account for the fact that I was now in Seattle. But even the difference between 2:50 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and 11:50 p.m. made a difference. We're going to take a short break, Benny, everybody out there. When we come back, do you have questions about your chart? Do you have questions about astrology for Carmen? If you do, give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. Make sure you give Benny your birth date and where you were born. Just give Benny some information on that. Or if you have a general question, let us know. When we come back, how do we learn about the signs are trying to tell us and how each sun sign can heal? Maybe strengths, maybe weaknesses. They're all in this book. But the end game, this is the end game, is resilience.
Yes.
It's great to maybe you're thinking about, what am I going to do with Uranus? But I will tell you, anytime Uranus was in my chart and where it was, I could pinpoint it, especially when it was in my career house, when it was in the house of careers.
Yes.
Losing a job after 24 and a half years out of nowhere, that's that planet. That's what that thing is doing.
It blindsides you.
That's like, girl, you're not going in the direction I need you to go. Let's get you there.
Yes.
Carmen, how do people get a copy of the book? How they find out about you? We're going to take a short break, then we're going to come back.
Okay.
So, what's your website, and how do we get your fantastic book?
My website is www, the number 8 and 12
sunsignshouses.com. And then you can get a copy of Sun Signs Houses and Healing on Amazon.com, LolaWellen.com, Barnes & Noble. If you Google the title, it'll pop up on several sites. You can order it. And it's live now. It's not pre-order anymore, so it's out there.
Yes, exactly. So don't be afraid, okay? Like if somebody hands you a transit chart that says, hello, transiting Pluto and semi-sextile with natal Venus, or maybe it says transiting Neptune in quintile with natal Mars, or then maybe it says something like some kind of square with natal Uranus, and then they just come on and they got squares and sextiles and quartiles and a bunch of this stuff, and then you look in the end and Uranus comes up, especially if your ruling planet is mine Jupiter, and it says transiting Jupiter in trine with natal Uranus January 27th to February 13th. What was going on with me then? But this is a mystery, except if you're Carmen. I can't tell you how many of these transit Uranus stuff is like in this chart. It just made my head explode. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Welcome back. And actually, if you were listening, oh, my God, if you were listening to the KKNW stream, you got a glimpse of my birth chart. I have to spend more time with Carmen just to talk with her a little bit more, especially about my solar return. Because while I love and am fascinated by all of this, I am a student. And what I mean by being a student, you know, I am somebody that learns every day. Now, Carmen, before we go to Renee, I think we've got some information we're waiting to hear from Renee. Again, tell us how we find out about you. How do we schedule time with you? How do we get a copy of the book? And then we're going to bring on Renee.
Sure, sure. So if you want to contact me, you can contact me through my website. It's www.8and12houses.com. You can find my book on Llewellyn's website, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and it's called Sun Signs, Houses, and Healing, Build Resilience and Transform Your Life Through Astrology. You can also email, I'm also on Facebook under Carmen Turner Shaw, author, and also I have a Facebook page called Deep Soul Divers Astrology, and you can find me through there.
I love that group. I love that. I actually love them all. And I have to say that, you know, I love your book because you're writing the book. You and I are both high school seniors at age 16 people.
Yes.
So we hit our senior year at 16, right?
Yes.
I didn't know I'd be homeless by the time I was 17. But but something about that youngness of high school senior. I finished high school and I thought, am I supposed to go back to school now? And then no, the answer is no. But we've got a lot to talk about, and we're going to talk about it through Renee, through you, and that's how you get to meet Carmen in the book. Carmen, why don't we bring on Renee?
Sure.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, Dr. Pyatt. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how can we help you? Happy Friday.
Well, I've been going through a Pluto transit, I think, on my ascendant, and I'm just wondering that means.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean?
That is powerful. Pluto on the ascendant, you will have probably a complete change in your emotional nature, your identity, your physical appearance, your relationships. Every part of who you are is going to transform and change. And it can be very intense and uncomfortable at times, because whenever Pluto or any planet transits the 12th house, and that's kind of where it's sitting right there on your 12th house, I'm getting ready to be in the first house, it sounds like, it brings up all kinds of things that we have not healed. So anything from childhood, anything from the past will come up into consciousness to be reflected on and healed and then released. And so I've had many friends that have been through the Pluto 12th house transit and right on their ascendant. But good news is you've been through the most difficult part of that transit, through the 12th house. Now that it's on your first house, it's getting ready to go into your house of identity and your how you show the world. And so you're going to feel a lot better once it moves into the first house. You're going to feel happier, like an emotional weight is lifted off, because it's a very heavy transit.
Isn't it there now? I think because my Pluto's in Capricorn. My ascendant's in Capricorn. So isn't Pluto already in Capricorn?
Well, I'm talking about the first house. So it's sitting on your ascendant.
Oh, okay.
Did you go through a lot the past several years?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Physically, yes, health, appearance, your body. Sometimes there's surgeries. Sometimes there's near-death experiences. So, you know, there's all these things that happen, and you've been through the hardest part. The good news is it's in the first house right there, getting ready to be in there, and it's going to be in there for many, many years. So you're probably going to completely change how you talk to people. You're probably going to be more assertive, more, you know, blunt, more vocal about what you feel and what you believe about things than you maybe were before.
I like that.
Yes, and it's a good time to transform yourself. Like if you you know, a lot of people want to change their hair, change their hair color. You know, they lose a lot of weight or they start working out. You know, they get very into physical fitness when there's a Pluto first house transit. You know, they get really into taking care of their body and their mind and being all about you. So if you've sacrificed yourself for other people, Pluto in the first house is going to make you focus on yourself. And you're meant to. You're meant to say, how does this benefit my life? What do I really want? And you're going to have these deep transformations about what you really want and focusing on you instead of everyone else.
That's wonderful. That's really timing. Really good timing, yes.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it, to really have that kind of understanding.
It's wonderful.
Things,
do you still
right?
do readings?
I do. I do astrology consultations. I do. And if you contact me, also my email is carmentshock@gmail.com. You can contact me there or through my website. It's www.8and12houses.com. And I have a contact page there on my website. You can email me. It'll come right to my Gmail, and I can write you right back.
Yeah. I think it's really important because, you know, one of the things, Renee, that I was talking with Carmen about was, you know, I've got my charts done. I have a brief understanding, but there's actually way lots of information for me to take in. And, you know, whenever you read something like I was reading this morning, one of my transits, transiting Saturn in sextile with native Venus, and then the punchline underneath it is, the planetary energies flow together, open it to new possibilities, new connections. You see, this is the kind of thing, if you take it independently, it's one item. But there's so many other things that go on with that, right? And
yeah.
So you, Carmen will be able to help more with the multi-layer aspect of things. Does that make sense? Now, I know today is the 6th. And I know when I looked at this deal for today, it was like transit Chiron in semi-square with natal Jupiter. And then I read something different. The planetary energies conflict in determining subtle tensions. Calmness is required. I had a situation this morning out of nowhere that was exactly that. And it took calmness for me to reconcile it.
Yeah.
But it's chilling sometimes. So, Renee, I hope you connect with Carmen.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Renee.
You
bet. For those of you out there, we are taking calls, if you'd like, 1-800-930-2819. Please say hi to Benny and give him some information. When I read that, I didn't read it till like 2 minutes ago. So it's after the fact. The scenario this morning was like sitting on a keg of dynamite.
Oh.
And you could see it had to do with Mercury in retrograde, misunderstanding. I mean, it was just so many layers to it. But had I reacted any other way but calm, courteous, constructive, it wouldn't have been resolved. And see, these are the underpinnings, or how should we talk about it? These are the dynamic energy natures of these. Can you talk about that? Because sometimes you'll read, oh, this is going to happen, and it's opportunities and connections. Oh, but wait a minute, exactly like on this date, that's going to happen, and then it happens. It's like eerie.
Yes.
Eerie.
So part of my research with astrology, I've also researched a lot about the Akashic Records that Edgar Cayce, I've studied a lot of his work that he did. And astrology is all throughout his readings. And what I realize is that what is in our soul record is in our chart, and there's certain things which our chart triggers. The transits trigger different lessons and things that we have to learn that are destined to happen. There's some things in our life that happen because they're meant to, and that's good things, bad things, traumatic things. Some people lose parents at a young age. Some people, you know, why? People always ask, why is this happening to me? There's a reason for it, because it's all about your learning and growth. And your natal chart is the map of your soul. It's the blueprint of why your soul came to Earth and what it's here to master. And you can't escape
why you're here. You will be either forced into it, blindsided to get there, or you can start understanding your chart and your lessons and the things you need to learn and work towards that and start mastering those energies. It's all the energy. So, you know, when we look at why we're here, we look at the North Node and the South Node, because that is your soul mission this lifetime, is where that North Node is. And what sign it's in, you're supposed to master that, those sign traits. What house it's in, that's where you're going to shine. And that is, and if I had to tell anyone the most important thing in their chart, it is their node. And
okay. And
that, all of the transits and everything that happens to us is happening to force us into that North Node, to get us doing what our soul wanted to come here to do and what we made an agreement to come here to do. And it's energy. The energy in our soul record, which represents our past lifetimes, all of these energies, it mirrors your natal chart. It's amazing when I do an Akashic Records consult for people and I haven't seen their chart. Everything that I'm shown and see, the images that, and what I write down, when I look at their chart, it is their chart. It is one and the same. They're connected. And one of the most important things in our life that gets us into our soul mission is looking at the Saturn return. When the planet Saturn returns, it happens to everyone on Earth, even if they don't believe in astrology, it happens. And they're like, wow, that's so weird, because, yeah, that happened to me, but I don't know astrology. I'm like, well, you were in your Saturn return, because the first Saturn return happens at age 27 to 30. Before that time, we are living in the past. We are living in the traits of our South Node. We are where we're comfortable, we're where we feel safe, and we're used to being that way, right? I'm a South Node Taurus. I'm all about being a Taurus, comfortable, cozy. I don't like change. I'm meant to be a North Node Scorpio, and I could feel that my whole life. I would have to go through these really intense things, and that first Saturn return is the first time I ever felt my North Node and Scorpio pull, and it was painful. And, you know, during that Saturn return, the first one, between 27 and 30, if you start asking your friends and family and look at what happened to your own life, many people get married during that time. They have children. They have babies. They divorce. They change careers. They graduate from college. They have a health crisis. They lose a parent. They move. There's all of these major life changes that happen, and those things are meant to happen because that's the first time we start getting pushed into our North Node. Which is in our birth chart. Then our whole life, if I catch people early enough before their Saturn return, I'll tell them these are the things you need to focus on, and then the Saturn return won't be as difficult for you, and it won't be as challenging because you're going to focus on these areas. If I catch people after, they usually just validate what I tell them. Oh, yeah, that happened, and man, that was really hard, but it made me stronger, and it made me more resilient. And I realize I can overcome anything after going through those things. And then when people get age 57 to 60, you have your second Saturn return. And that is when, by the time I do a chart for someone that is 62, they are in their node doing their soul mission. Every single person I have done a chart for that are 62 and up, they're like, oh, yeah, all those things happen, and I am a Pisces North Node, and I'm doing this, and this is my mission. They're in it. We get there no matter what. We either can work towards it and do it on our own and learn and be a student and try to get there, or we can just, you know, let these things that are meant to be happen, these transits, these energies, because they're going to get you there no matter what. Don't worry. You will master your North Node. You will get there because everyone's here for a purpose. And that is the most important thing in our natal chart, is that node.
And, you know, for people, it's a little confusing when they look at their charts. Let's talk about it for those of you out there and you're thinking, how do I find my North Node, right? We're talking birth chart at the moment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so if they took a look at their chart, like you were looking at my chart during the break,
yes.
My birth chart, actually.
Yes.
And we looked at that North Node, and a lot of time people think North Node and they look up, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The North Node, it's based on the calculation of the moon. So I don't want to get into the math.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to make it simple.
Yes.
You go to astro.com, and you can get a free chart on astro.com, okay? And what you need to know is your date of birth, month, day, and year, your exact time of birth, AM or PM, and your city, state, country of birth. If you go on there, you can select a free natal calculation, natal chart calculation. You can calculate your natal chart. And when you look in there, you can select different things you want to have included, like Chiron, the nodes, and everything. Now, when that wheel, it's going to be a wheel that pulls up with 12 houses, which are areas of life, and it's kind of like in the center of that wheel is Earth. So when you're born, this is where all the signs, planets were in the constellations in the sky when you were born, and it's put onto paper. It's like a picture of the map of your soul. And the north node looks like a horseshoe, okay, with these two little circles, and the south node is an upside-down horseshoe, like you're playing, you know, the horseshoes. So the south node is the upside down with the two little circles on top. The north node has the ring at the top with on the bottom. That, looking at what sign it's in and what house, what area of life, that will show you, okay, I'm Virgo or I'm Pisces in the 10th house, and I'm south node, you know, Virgo. So I need to release the past traits of Virgo and become more of a Pisces. You know, for me, I have to release being a Taurus and allowing change into my life and allowing transformation and rebirths throughout my life that are difficult. But I'm meant to be a Scorpio. And so everything about Scorpio, I would recommend read about your North Node sign. Really read all about the North Node sign because it's so important. Your sun sign's important. Your moon sign's important. That's all things you already know about yourself. You're like, yeah, that's me. Emotionally, I'm that way. You know, it's going to validate you because it's a science. It's energy. It's accurate. But the node is something we're not comfortable with because it's new. And
yeah.
We are not there yet. And our whole life is moving us, and our experiences are moving us into that area, that node. And it's our destiny to do it. I'm just now finally, I could say, in my node, doing what I'm meant to do. And years ago, I thought, I'm never going to ever get a book published. I'm never going to write. And my north node is in the third house of publishing, writing, communication. And it's in Scorpio. So I knew I'm meant to write about healing. And I'm meant to write powerful words to help people. And I'm meant to do it. And I finally... The timing was finally right. I mean, and it all worked out. But it took me many years. I'm 46 years old, so it took many years to get there. But I knew if my chart is right, I'm meant to write. And so I've always tried to focus on writing. And that's what I did.
It's fascinating. I think when you looked at my chart, I wasn't even paying attention to it. But I think it showed up in 24 degrees Pisces, 3 degrees retrograde something. And that was what in my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th house, I guess it was. I never looked at it before. I've never like looked at it before. I mean, it's clear as day that I looked at that. That's wrong. That's my south node. But the north node, when you looked at it is, and it's tricky. You got to get the thing right.
Yeah.
My north node is in the 11th house, right?
Yes.
And that is 24 degrees Pisces and then something retrograde. So I don't even know what that is, 3 degrees something. But that's fascinating that it's in that 11th house. And I never paid attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you started to tell me what the 11th house is about and where I am today, it's intriguing, right?
Yes. You are meant to reach large groups of people. And you do through what you do with the radio and your podcast. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's humanitarian causes and efforts. It's innovation. It's technology. Anything with technology, Zoom, everything, this is what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah, we're launching new technology on the 4th of July. I have to look that date up, though. But we are.
Yes.
Well,
you're meant to do that. You're meant to focus on spiritual topics. Talking to people about mystical, spiritual things, which is Pisces, artistic things, creative things, humanitarian efforts, which is always about helping large groups of people, reaching the masses, you know, is the 11th house. It's the house of friendship. It's the house of groups. So working with groups of people, that is also where you're focused.
Yeah.
And I love the way you've done the book, because for those of you out there, when you get a copy of the book, you're going to see what Carmen does is she'll actually take us through. And she'll go, for example, Aries in the first house. And you'll be able to read, I'm giving you an example from the book. And you'll be able to read a bit about it, right, which will give you a little bit of an understanding. But to truly understand the dynamic, Carmen, that you and I are talking about now, you've got to put yourself in front of somebody that can help you interpret this.
That's right.
Right? And that's important, because I took a minute to look at my birth chart and then my solar return. And then I put it over here because I didn't understand it.
Yes.
And so I would love to be able to hear what your perspective is on it. But you do such a beautiful job about writing about this in ways that average person can understand.
Thank you. That's my goal. That's what the third house is all about. Is I have a lot of astrology friends, and when they write, it's so technical.
Yeah.
Anyone would put the book down because it's too hard unless you're an astrologer, you know, and you really, you know, it's just, it's not, people are going to have a hard time, especially if they don't fully believe in it, right? So my goal is the third house is all about basic education, basic knowledge, making knowledge, high-level knowledge understandable on a very basic level. See, I have the south node in the ninth house in Taurus. I've already studied and spent my life studying all these things and learning these things, but I'm meant now to teach everyone about these things I love on a basic, practical level.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing with my North Node in Scorpio in the third house.
Wow.
I'm writing to make it where it's fun and practical.
I love
it. It makes sense, you know.
It does. And what I love is about the way you've laid this out. Carmen, I got to thank you for coming here today. There's so much that you've really laid out here for people to understand. Again, how do we get a copy of the book? How do they schedule time with you? Please give out some information, and thank you for joining us here today.
Sure. Sun Signs, Houses, and Healing, you can get on Amazon.com, Llewellyn.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. If you Google Sun Signs, Houses, and Healing, or you Google Carmen Turner Schott, my books will come up on Amazon. You can also find my website, which is www.8andthenumber12houses.com. And I'm on Facebook under Carmen Turner Schott Author and Deep Soul Divers Astrology. I have a Facebook page on Facebook as well.
I love it. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Yes. I want everyone to know that you can utilize your personality traits to find your strength and to overcome any type of trauma, loss, or challenge in your life. There's always a positive inner strength that you have, no matter how hard of an experience you go through, that you can survive and you can become resilient, which resilient means the ability to overcome hardship. You know, something can bend, but it doesn't break. And that's the human spirit to me, is that the human spirit cannot be broken. It can be bent. It can be challenged. We can feel depressed. We can have times where we don't know how we're going to move forward. But knowing your basic sun sign traits and strengths, you can utilize those to overcome anything. Mm-hmm. And it just takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of applying what we know. Doing those things like self-care and taking care of ourselves, learning to tell people no when we've been overwhelmed and we need some alone time to recover and reflect. A lot of people that are in the spiritual fields, you know, in the helping professions, they're givers, they're caretakers, and they give, but they're not good at taking care of their own self and their